Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, my daughter watched last night. She said, I'm surprised you're not saying how crazy and desperate and cringe that show was last night. It was. There were some real doozies. Anyway, I'm done watching that. That's it. I watched it once to see my sister-in-law, and that was it. Now it's over. Bye. Bye, Golden Bachelor.
Speaking of being over, John, after making just two starts following a 28-month absence, it's 2 years and 4 months, following Tommy John surgery, Luis Garcia is headed under the knife again in the coming days and will miss the entire 2026 season. So he will miss basically four consecutive years. Luis Garcia's career is over. As an Astro,
he really.
Espada wouldn't say the exact nature of the injury, but who really cares?
Did he pitch in 23?
No. He missed all of 23, all of 24, most of 25. When he came back, he only made two starts, and he'll miss all of 26.
Wow. Oh.
He pitched in 23.
Yeah.
He was just done really early.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. His last start in 23 was May, in May.
Oh, that's early.
That's early, yeah. Basically didn't pitch.
Basically, Luis Garcia has 2022. Yeah, he had six games he pitched.
Yeah, May 1st,
He's pitched eight games since 2022.
In four years,
he will have pitched eight games. Yeah. And his time, how's that going to work? His time will be up, right? The Astros won't have him anymore anyway.
I don't know how that works. If you haven't pitched, I mean, I'm not sure. Not sure how that's going to work. But it doesn't. Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Really,
I don't.
Is he ever going to pitch again?
I don't. I wouldn't even.
Is he ever going to pitch?
You've already got McCullers, who has done this forever.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, I'm sorry, but Luis Garcia. So, you know. Okay. So arbitration was avoided this year. The Astros, he's got 1.875. He actually has one more year. Next year, he'll miss all of next year, which is his third arbitration year. And then he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 27. And I think it counts. You know, they're not going to, when you're out with an injury, they're not going to, it doesn't, you don't stop your service time then. So I would say he's done as an Astro. I don't think he'll ever pitch again as an Astro. And I worry that he'll ever pitch again in Major League Baseball. Real shame.
Yeah.
Real shame for him.
Yep. All right. Let's get Chris in here. Let's talk a little college football. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show. Hey, I didn't want to call in too early in the week because I know it's NFL and Astros and stuff like that. But, Lance, I was listening to football this past week, and I heard Utah's quarterback followed their coach, and then we know Mateer followed the offensive coordinator. I don't know about you, John, but I know, Lance, you and I have been through some cease and desist and things like that through prior jobs. Has there been any talk about when an offensive coordinator leaves to go to another school, not recruiting from the current school if the player's not in the current portal? Or maybe what was the dynamic being the head coach? You see your star quarterback cozying up to the quarterback coach or the offensive coordinator, knowing they're a hot name on the market. I didn't know if that was something that's ever been talked about or discussed, or maybe current teams trying to say, you know, I just didn't know how that worked. I was thinking about it the other day as I was listening to
It's like anything. It's like anything. Like, it's an uncomfortable situation because that coach is trying to win games now, and a lot of times it drives a wedge between head coach and former offensive coordinator because they're competing for, you know, that quarterback's probably going to want to come with that offensive coordinator. And, of course, that offensive coordinator, he can say what he wants, but, you know, more than likely, he's certainly open to taking a call from that quarterback if that quarterback wants to transfer. It's got to be a – you know, I thought about this, too. What was it like when between Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, six coaches left that staff? I don't know if it was four total or six assistant coaches left. I think it was six other assistant coaches left with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn combined from that Detroit staff. Like, I wonder how Dan Campbell dealt with that. If he was really pissed off, if he was mother bleeping his two former coordinators, like, it hasn't had much of an impact, but to lose that many coaches, to have to replace that many coaches in a single season, that's almost tough for Dan Campbell.
Almost seems like tortious interference.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because you're taking, you know, their ability.
Although if they're under contract, they can't go.
Right.
Well, so I wonder how that works.
Unless they move up to D2.
So maybe Dan, yeah, well, that's, yeah. Yeah, right. Maybe Dan gave permission for some of them. Maybe he was okay with it. I don't know, but. How could you be okay with losing Mateer if you're at Washington State? You know, how could you be okay with losing Utah, losing a starting quarterback in this economy?
Right. Well,
in this quarterback economy,
you got no choice now.
Can be pissed off all you want.
Oh, yeah, great. Sorry, you're mad. Oh well. Guess what?
Sorry, you're mad.
I don't give a crap.
You're actually right.
Yep. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got some sound that let's catch up on breaks. And on the other side, we will hear from CJ Stroud. CJ and D'Amico talking about CJ and where he is mentally, because CJ looks like a whip dog. CJ just looks like a whip dog. And let's talk about that on the other side. But first, we're talking about Underdog Fantasy.
I'm talking about Underdog and a chance for you to play the ladders game in streaks. Those are two different ways. I tell you all the time about playing high or low, right? You pick the statistic and you go higher or lower than statistic, and it's a great way to watch the games and play along with the games. It's fantastic. But, you know, streaks is actually really cool because you can stop whenever you want to. If you get on a hot streak, you pick two players to go higher or lower on their stats. And if you win both of those, it unlocks the third one. And so the third one, you make another one higher or lower. If you win that one, it goes on to the fourth one. It goes one and then one and then one, and you keep going. And the higher you go, the bigger the payout is. And it's kind of like that game Card Sharks, when I used to watch Card Sharks. Higher, lower, stay, and then they'd freeze it. Well, you can do the same thing, only you can either go higher or lower with your statistics, or you can basically say, that's it, I'm cashing out. I won four of them in a row. I'm going to go ahead and cash out. You can start by playing as little as $5. You can pay $10. You can play $20. You know, the higher you play, the more your payout is going to explode with the more consecutive wins that you get. But that's another one of the fun ways that you have to take advantage of your skill and your knowledge of the game. Same thing with ladders. Ladders allows you to do something very similar. But if you win by a lot, if you win by a lot, it really increases your payout. So go to Underdog Fantasy and explore all the different ways to play and to win money and to have fun while you're watching your football games, not just on Sunday, but also Saturday. They got college football as well. Underdog Fantasy, download the app, use promo code Lance, and they're going to give you a $50 in bonus cash when you make your first $5 play, but you must use promo code Lance. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
You confess it, but it will not come.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, I wanted to talk about Coors Light here, but Dell won't let me. Nice job. Nice job, Dell. Okay. So, I had a few last night. I sure did. Had a few, couple, three or five. And it was a good time had by all. But I'll talk about it later, I guess. Not now. I do want to talk about CJ. CJ Stroud is okay. I was looking at a list. If you go by just these three games, CJ is in a territory with Joe Flacco. CJ is in with Tua, Joe Flacco. Who else has been really? I mean, he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's been one of the worst quarterbacks who qualify since the start of 2024. The Athletic put out an article questioning whether CJ should get an extension when that time comes. And if his EPA per dropback, which simply means they compare him to other quarterbacks in the same situation, what he's providing for his team, he's ranked the 28th quarterback out of 33 qualifying quarterbacks since the start of 2024.
Well, I don't know who it was, what quarterback broke it down, a former quarterback broke it down, and he was like, y'all can't be blaming everything on CJ.
First of all, no one is. This thing where CJ continues to be free of criticism from the national media is because they had a love affair with him in 2023. So nothing can be his fault at this point. And, you know, there are issues.
And they'll
clearly
protect certain quarterbacks. Yeah, like, certain quarterbacks don't fall under the protection. Like, Russell Wilson won't fall under any
protection.
It's
pretty much if they like how you play. Not if you're effective, but if they like how you play. Like, if they feel you're an entertaining quarterback, no matter what that means, whether you're Lamar or CJ. CJ got the reputation of a guy they like. They like how he played quarterback. And that still is giving him some of that bump. Like, hey, they got issues, and for the most part, it's not CJ. I would actually agree. The Texans got problems beyond CJ. But he is almost immune nationally to criticism.
Yeah.
It's super weird because you actually watch the games, you see he's part of it too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's part of it too. I don't really care about
I think that they realize it is a big part of why he's not as good as he used to be. It's because he's got, you know, because the offensive line has been so crappy. His footwork is not as good. He's falling off. He's doing all kinds. He's getting rid of the ball faster than he should in some instances. And maybe he's jumpy because of what he's been through. He's got some PTSD,
but that's, you know, if you say that, if you make that admission and you accept it as true, then what you're telling me is he could be bleeped.
Yeah. Cooked.
Yep. Because it's hard to come back from that.
I'm convinced he's not re-signing here.
I am too. I'm getting that way too, John. I think he's going to – do we have the sound from CJ? CJ was pretty honest with his assessment, but I don't know. There was some – you know, he made a point that they asked him about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He's like, I like him. That wasn't my decision. That was right. You had to go talk to those guys. That was at the top. And I didn't think that was here. Let's hear CJ. I'm trying to listen for clues for what you say, because I'm kind of the same way, John. I think CJ gets – I think his personality is when things aren't going great for him personally, and I'm not calling him a front runner. I'm saying his frustration level builds. And
he looks frustrated.
And he looks very frustrated.
Well, let's hear from him, and then I want to hear from D'Amico.
David Mulgeta is not a great guy to have working his contract.
Let's hear from CJ, and then we'll hear from D'Amico about CJ. Here's CJ.
I don't really think I felt like that or the team. I mean, I think they have their own reasons, you know, Nick and D'Amico. And, you know, I think as a team, you know, we brought him in. And he was part of the locker room, and, you know, everybody was, you know, our whole team is close, you know. Like, we all hang out with one another pretty much. It's sometimes, like, defense, offense, or DBs, quarterbacks, like, whatever that would. I thought he did well with his DBs and everything, so it's not really, you know, my position to, you know, speak on that. You know, I like CD as a person. I think he's growing as a man. You know, he's trying to find a relationship with God, which I think is dope. So, yeah, I wish him none but the best. And, you know, I'm going to always be here for him if he ever needs me. But, yeah, I'm always going to be a fan of him.
Let's do the CJ about this talk with Kaylee. because that—I mean, his thoughts on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Oh well, that's a teammate that's gone. Where is his mind? Where is his state of mind? Here is C.J. talking about. He had a discussion with Nick Caley, who was with the Rams last year, who struggled at the beginning of last year.
You know, I was talking to Kels, like, to Aaron's point, like, they were 2-6 last year, and everybody wrote them off. So that's what you give people an inch to take a mile. And I think that's the goal, is, like, you know, to keep it internal and keep our eyes set on our goals, whatever it looks like. It changes. If we went 3-0, it would look different. You know, we went 1-2, it would look different. So every year's going to look different. So, yeah, in high school, it definitely was tough, but I think it's preparing me. College, same thing. We lost to Oregon, my second start ever, and I sucked too. Everybody hated me again. So, like, I'm kind of just, you know, like, it is what it is. And I just, you know, just stay true to my process, my beliefs, and my faith.
I don't know what the specific question was, but he does reference when people don't like him or saying things. But then in a different answer.
Who's hating on him? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he said, and he comes out and he says, let's see, I've got it right here. Because they ask him about on how he overcame previous challenges, and he talked about when people didn't like him in high school because he wasn't doing well, and they were saying things on, I think, the message board or whatever. But he said, I don't see none of it. I'm not on social media. Honestly, everybody has the right to their opinion. If they don't like what I wear, oh, this is about the hat, Yankee hat.
Yeah, it's about
the
hat.
They don't like what I wear, I would just not look at it if I was him. So I'm going to wear what I want. I don't think I'm being disrespectful. If I was being disrespectful, then that's a whole different case. But at the end of the day, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm all good. I just don't really pay attention to it. I just try to focus on what I can. He's hearing something, though, because he knows when...
Well, he was asked about the hats. He references specific,
but he references negativity, and he just says, you know, hey, I don't pay attention to it. But he references it.
He does that after every game. Oh, everybody's going to be crazy. Everybody's going to say all kinds of crazy stuff, and you know what? I just don't. Apparently, he does hear it. Apparently, he does, because he absolutely references that way too often.
Right?
That he is, that people, the criticism of him. But here's D'Amico talking about where CJ is mentally.
Meeting CJ this week, man, I feel like he's in a really great spot mentally, clear mind, understanding. Like, I got to play better, right? He understands that, and that's the first step to making strides and getting better, is understanding and admitting, like, hey, I know I have to play better so the team can be better. Let's go. So I'm excited to see him press forward, go play better. Excited to see everybody around him play better as well.
So he admits that he's not playing well. Okay, that maybe is the first step. Maybe that is the first step for him to be better.
That's all he can control.
But does he? Okay, so this week this is a must win. I've never seen a week 4 must win, but this is a must win.
Oh, it's absolutely a must win.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a must win. And, you know, Ravens, you can't call it a must win because you know you're not going to win. But, you know, Ravens are desperate too. They're 1-2. The Ravens are 1-2. I mean, I hate to call that desperation.
And they got the Chiefs this week.
Yeah, but they got the Chiefs, and both of those teams need a win. I mean, the Chiefs are 1-2 also. One of those teams is going to 1-3.
Well, look how it lines up.
Now, the Chiefs are in a really tough spot because they've got the Chargers and the Broncos, although the Broncos are 1-2. No.
Broncos are 1-2.
Broncos are 1-2 also. You look at the Ravens, and even if the Ravens go 1-3, you know, the Bengals don't have Joe. Cleveland's Cleveland. And I don't know that I believe that the Steelers are better than you. I know the Steelers aren't better than you. It's just, can you catch them?
Well, look,
that ain't the best division anymore.
Well, look how it lines up for the Texans. The Titans at home, at Ravens, at Seattle, after a bye. And then you host the 49ers, who will probably have Purdy back at that time. And I don't know how healthy they'll be otherwise, but they'll probably have their starting quarterback back, and then home to the Broncos before you see the Jags. So if you're looking at the schedule as it sits right now, are they favored versus anyone but the Titans in that stretch I just laid out for you?
Yeesh. Yeesh. That's why you had to get a win against least Tampa. You had to get one, because then you start 2-2 is in your thought process. Yeesh, not great.
No. Nope.
That Texans offensive line in Seattle at night.
Well, it's always a disaster in Seattle at night.
Yep. That's not good. This is not good. This season might be. Who do you think they'll draft with the third overall pick?
Who wins the championship first? The Texans, the Astros, or Rockets? I remember when we did that, played that game.
And some.
Well,
of
the I think the Astros are done.
And the Texans were the choice.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think they're going to win the title this year.
I didn't think the Texans.
I'm just putting it out right now. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
I got a feeling you're going to be right, John.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there right
what
now.
What about 2018? Or I like how people ask CJ Stroud, what do you think when people, you know, the thought about following 2000, CJ's going to say, I don't know. I think I was in high school. I don't even know.
Not even.
Well,
was he?
Yeah, maybe. 2018. Yeah, he was in high school. I don't think he was at Ohio State yet.
Yes.
And he can say, I don't know. I didn't watch y'all back then. Texans are considered super boring. I don't know.
You think I had a Texan hat when I was 17 years
old? No, I don't even have a Texans hat now.
Well,
I wear Rams hats.
Well, he wears. You think the only time he wears Texan stuff is in the facility?
Yeah, everything else is going to be whoever the Astros' biggest enemy is.
It's true.
Mariners, Yankees. Who else?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone.
Has he had a Ranger hat?
I'm wearing my Texans golf shirt or my Texans hat to go play golf. I've never seen that. No one ever. I see a lot of Astros hats.
It's actually pretty rare. Like, they started making a little comeback, but it's been rare it really is rare. You see a lot of Astros.
I've never seen anyone wear, at golf, I see Astros hats all the time. You really don't see Rockets because it's red. I think that the red is a problem. But I never, ever, ever see anyone with got my Texans gear. It's just, it's too red, white, and blue, boring, and just too blasé.
Plus, it's not, that team doesn't give you any juice, man. Every time you get 2 years of hope. The Texans give you 2 years of hope, and that's it. 2011, 2012, and that's it.
Well,
and then your first pick in the 13th
round. People excited a little going in the 13th. And then it all fell apart.
Well, but you didn't get excited.
And they won two games.
They won two games. You lost 14 in a row.
They started 2-0.
Is this?
And then you had
14 loss season.
And then you picked one. You got one of your first picks of the draft, and that one was Jadeveon Clowney.
Nice.
Who was just like, okay, whatever.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk about right now. We got to talk about HR&P. We got to talk about a business that is helping your business. And I'm telling you, people, I was shocked. I was shocked at how inexpensive and how because it's a service that takes away. Listen, if you've got a payroll department, I don't know if you've got 30, 40 employees, whatever it is, you pay a full-time person and maybe some help to do that. I'm telling you, you are wasting money. Get that pay. You like your payroll person? Put them in another place, because HR&P can do your payroll for way less than it's going to be have a full-time employee or multiple employees in your HR and payroll departments. It's unbelievable. It really is. I was shocked. I never knew, you know, the pricing on this thing, and I'm like, wow, is that it? Is that all? So why don't you have them look at the way you're doing it and how much money they can save you? I mean, there was a small business they were looking at with just not even 30 employees, and they said, we could save you about $150,000 a year. That's a lot of money to your bottom line. If you're looking for a great way to get your payroll, your HR, your taxes all done, HR&P, man, I'm telling you. They're going to do it for way, way better. First of all, technologically, they're going to do it better than you can. And secondly, they're going to save you a bunch of money. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Get a free evaluation at HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. FanDuel put out their NFL power rankings. They got the Bills 1. They got the Ravens, then the Chiefs, Lions, Packers, Eagles, Rams. How could you put the Ravens with that defense? How can you put them second? I mean, do the games not matter? Do the games just not matter?
Not when your preconceived notions directly oppose the games that you're seeing.
Okay, in your guys' eyes, it's Bills 1, right? Are Bills the best team?
I don't know that they're the best team. I still put the Eagles ahead of them.
Eagles, yeah. I mean, they got the Eagles sixth.
Yeah, the Bills.
Are you not watching the games?
Yeah,
you got them behind the Chiefs when they went to Kansas City and won.
I mean, honestly. And the last time we saw, and then of course Super Bowl where they completely dominated them. But sure, different seasons. But like you said, they went into Kansas City and won, and the Chiefs have not looked impressive at any point this year. I'm not sure what that's about.
I would say it's Bills or Eagles. Bills, Eagles, Chargers. Bills, Eagles, the Chargers look great. Great. And then I'm going Rams after that. The Rams went and almost and could have.
They should have.
Maybe should have beat the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Yeah. They had a big lead, and if they could make a field goal.
They're really good. Really good.
Yeah, I don't know. The Ravens thing is they're so explosive offensively, and I guess you just believe the defense, they'll find answers. But right now, they're bad, and their running back fumbles when it matters the most.
Yeah. Right. Who's up, Gary? Let's get Gary in here. Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to weigh in on CJ Stroud. Two things. I have him being traded to the Rams this offseason, one first round, just second round, something like that. Like, there's no way we should pay him. It kind of sounds like he doesn't want to be here. It seems like it's not working out. The other piece is people have got to start with the lazy offensive line narrative. For goodness sake, sometimes quarterbacks are not that good. Like, it happens. Like, look at history. Pull up a Wikipedia. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't work out. I'm not saying that CJ Stroud is one of them, but it's not looking good. It's not always the offensive line. Tampa Bay was starting some guy who couldn't even be a backup for us. He was terrible. And their left tackle, who's like all world, was out. Baker Mayfield made plays when it mattered. Our guy did it. It's not always the offensive line. CJ has been struggling since last season. The team is not super great. But if you need a good offensive line, a good offensive coordinator, a good running game, a good front office to be a good quarterback, you're not that good. I don't think people understand that.
Yeah. Listen, a quarterback can make a huge – Joe Burrow got the Bengals to the Super Bowl with one of the worst offensive lines in Super Bowl history. It was awful. They were awful.
Yeah, that's why that's what makes a quarterback special.
Yeah.
When you can rise above your constraints, that's an elite quarterback. I'm tired of hearing the word CJ will never be, we'll never see him as an elite quarterback again as long as you have. Stop saying CJ was ever elite. He had a great first rookie season, but he wasn't an elite quarterback as a rookie either. We just assumed he would keep taking steps. CJ's not an elite. Please stop using the phrase elite. Stop it. Stop it. Do you worry?
Just use that. I don't remember hearing many people.
Oh no 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 no.
It was.
Oh
there.
Yeah, it was there. It was you? What are you kidding me? Everyone. We were arguing if CJ was top five.
Okay, listen. That narrative has changed. That's been well over a year now since he's been called anything like that.
I want to ask you a question. It was just asking me. What do you think the relationship between D'Amico Ryans and CJ is?
I think it's probably pretty good.
I think it's average.
Well, I don't think so.
Here's why.
He was asked about that. No, me and D'Amico are good, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's why I ask. Well, you know who else he was good with? Bobby Slowik. Me and Bobby are good. I heard that too. I don't think that was true. I think CJ will tell you what you need to hear.
But do you think CJ regrets that now?
No. I don't think he wanted Bobby Slowik, period. It doesn't change. He won't want
It's even worse
Nick
now.
Haley. Yeah, it's but I don't think now. He wanted I don't think he wanted Bobby Slowik back. But here's why I asked the question. I don't think it's so much about CJ as D'Amico saying, you know, you got rid of my friend. And this just could be the case. I don't know this to be the case. But he might say, you know, he and Bobby Slowik were pretty good friends, D'Amico. And D'Amico, to his credit, is on board with moving on. He said all the right things. I don't know if pressure came from ownership. I don't know if it was a D'Amico thing. I don't know how much CJ had to do with, you know, his opinion. I don't know. I do know this. Got rid of one coordinator after 2 years as a team. Now you got a new one. It's not working out so far. Three games, whatever. You got a lot of time. CJ strikes me as a guy based on body language, and I don't know, and based on some of the history I heard at Ohio State, I think CJ gets easily frustrated. I think he wants to win badly. I think he's extremely competitive, but I wonder sometimes if it manifests into some pouting. We saw some of that on the field on Sunday. It was a terrible game, though. D'Amico Ryans is a professor positive. You know, his personality is leadership, accountability. And I think that the way CJ moves at times might rub D'Amico the wrong way in terms of, because remember, D'Amico was a leader on the field. D'Amico was a team captain also. I think he wants to see a more stoic quarterback, and I think he doesn't want somebody who always needs this and needs that. And look, CJ needs a lot of stuff around him. I get it. And the play calling's not been good. I get all that stuff. But I just wonder at some point if D'Amico's going to say, hey, I can't hear about all, you know, you got to play better. He said it yesterday. He said multiple times CJ knows he has to play better. He's not going to protect CJ. He's going to be honest with you. And when I say protect, I mean not unduly protect and say it's not CJ's fault. Get off CJ. I think he's saying, hey, CJ knows he's got to play better too. But I just wonder if CJ's personality is going to rub D'Amico the wrong way at some point.
Oh, I don't know about that. I have no idea. Their personal. I have no idea. I don't know. I do know.
I don't know either. That's why I'm
okay, but
curious
who goes,
if you think.
Well, again.
Well, I know who goes first. Well, I know I don't.
I don't either. Because I'm not sure. I mean, they've dealt with this quarterback and Mulligetta thing before. And I don't know that you immediately. And, oh, by the way, you know, you gave that money. You gave that big contract to Deshaun. I'm not so sure CJ is getting that $60 million that everybody's been, after his rookie year, was talking about. I'm not so sure that's the case. Who said, he just said, send him to the Rams and get a couple of first-rounders.
No, that's out there.
That
is it, he'll want to go.
Gary said, yeah.
Yeah, he'll want to go to the West Coast.
It's not crazy.
But who does that? Very few teams will do that. Nobody has the balls to do that so far in the NFL. Name the team that's done it other than a guy who had massage issues.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking this. You get a high pick this year. You suck all year. You get a high pick. What position are you taking with a really high pick, a top four pick?
Well, you can't take quarterback. And this isn't the year to take quarterback anyway, it looks like. Who looks good in this class? You know what you're taking? You're probably taking
offensive lineman.
I mean, I guess a tackle, but you're not going to take a guard that high.
No, you're going to take a tackle that high.
A guard, you got Titus Howard under contract. What are you doing with Ursary? I think Ursary's a right tackle.
Move to the right side and give me a Joe Alt kind of guy.
And then you kind of move on from the contract. You save some money if you move on from Titus Howard, but his play hasn't been bad this year.
No.
So we're just going
to
get rid of
him. Guard. You move him back to guard.
You may have to.
Yep.
And then you draft a left tackle. They've got some good tackles in this draft, too.
All right, 8:45, because we got Josh Pate coming up at the top of the hour. Let's just get out of here on time. There's a lot of great college football to talk about, so you don't want to miss that. John Chill at the bottom of the hour to talk about the gambling aspect of it. Right now, we're talking about Dream Rate Mortgage. I'm a big Kent Jones fan. I've called him before. We were buying a house here. He said, I can't help you in L.A., but I'll give you as much advice as I possibly can, because he's licensed in Texas. And here's the deal. He has saved, literally, I mean, I over 1,400 career closings. When in one closing, I've seen $10,000 to $20,000 saved for my people. I mean, how much money has this guy saved people over the years? There's a lot of instances, like a ticket broker. You don't want to go to a ticket broker because he jacks up the price. Brokers in this case are so much better because they know all the, well, this one knows all the hacks. 1,400 career closings. You don't think Kent Jones has seen about everything that you can possibly see as far as mortgage closings? You don't know, okay, an insurance agent, survey, title company. He'll do it all. It's one-stop shopping, okay? And he might be able to find your buyer's agent that will reap a part of their commission. I mean, you ain't getting that. You ain't doing that yourself. You don't know how to do that. Shop your loan. Kent Jones will show you how to do that. Brokers are just better in this industry. And Kent Jones, 1,400 career closing, he knows all the hacks. All you need to do is go to DreamRate975Loans.com. 975loans.com, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. Jay Ken Jones, NMLS number 356118, equal housing lender.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I am seeing, like, my boy Ian, new guy Melts, he put out the video last night of Carlos Correa walking away from Joe Espada. I don't know what was being talked about or what, but Carlos just turned his back and walked away, and Joe went down the dugout. Rush Hour puts this out there. 12-24 start in 2024, worst start in history, in franchise history. Lineup changes every game. The Framber Valdez incident in 2025. Zero accountability. Players make the same mistakes. Country club mentality, no toughness. Time to move on from Espada. Joe Espada could be like lineup changes every day because, well, he's trying to make chicken salad. All year long, he's been trying to make chicken salad out of this chicken bleep.
Yeah, but I go back to click. Like, if you're not, there's no chance. If Espada is overseeing this disastrous fall from grace this year, and with all the issues, and we know it's true.
Pitching.
John, look at Jim Crane has gotten rid of people on a regular basis after winning World Series.
Well,
it happened after 17. Guys in the organization were gone. Crane needs to fire. This is what somebody said. LJ says this. Crane needs to fire Dana, Joe, third base coach, hitting coaches, ban Bagwell for life. Get all the baseball people out of the build, quote unquote, baseball people out of the building. Bring back heavy analytics and stay out of the way. Do what made us great to begin with. Easy fix.
If Framber doesn't fall apart, do they win this division?
Yes.
Ooh,
well,
I don't know
about wind of it.
Seattle's winning a lot of games.
How many games have they lost with him on the mound?
Yeah. I mean, look at they won 13 straight with him.
They've lost
now they
every
can't
game.
Win any of his
so, starts. Every game he
so
starts.
So I get all the things you can pick out a spot about. If your alleged ace was ace-like, where are you right now?
You can't even win with Hunter on the mound now.
Yeah. So what's
I mean, Hunter, 6 innings, 2 runs is not good enough, Hunter.
So what's the spot to do? In some cases,
look. I'm not saying it's the right. What I am saying is, I wouldn't just assume Espada's safe.
I think he's safe. I think he's
I thought
gonna,
Bobby Sloak
he's
going to
finish
safe.
Top three in manager of the year.
I thought Bobby Sloak was safe after being offensive, after being a hot coaching commodity. Then his team doesn't score as many well, runs, yeah. quote yeah. unquote runs. Well. And guess what? He was gone.
Well, because the star player didn't want him. What star player doesn't want a spot around?
I don't know. Does Correa?
I don't. Well, should well, he get?
Are the players going to say
be
we
the
don't?
Guy?
I think that. Look, I think Espada, by the way, leans into analytics. Espada uses analytics.
Yeah.
He believes in analytics. Espada's the guy who wants more analytics. So, the baseball, quote unquote, baseball people, they did some real damage with some of these terrible contracts. But I don't know that. Golly, to fire all these guys. I can't imagine that after this year, especially the way this is ending and with all these injuries, somebody's going. Alex Cintron, Alex Cintron survives. He's not going to survive.
He's going to be the scapegoat. Cintron's got to be the scapegoat.
You think Miller
survives? Think Miller and Murphy are fine, I think.
Why do you think that?
Well, it's what? Is it his their fault that everybody's
it
got
doesn't,
Tommy
it
John?
It doesn't matter. Somebody has to go. Yeah. They didn't make the playoffs. They fell miserably. The bullpen was the one of the worst in baseball. Although they've been better. They've been better lately. They've been a lot better lately.
They were really good when they had really good pitchers.
Fromber has fallen apart. Your logic isn't going to matter for an owner that says this isn't good enough. We need to make changes.
I don't like the lack of accountability. He should have done something with the Fromber thing. He should have
suspended him.
Conduct
detrimental, whatever you want. He's gone anyway. Make a point of him.
Yeah, right.
Who does that come from? GM or coach or manager?
Manager, Joe.
Well,
he brought him into the office right after.
Yeah, but Dana Brown could have gone and said, hey, we want to suspend him. Because Dana is over. In this organization, Dana is over Espada. Dana could have made that choice.
And in the middle of a pennant chase.
But that's the problem.
Of course, Fromber stunk anyway. But in the middle of a pennant chase, what are they valuing? A guy who goes out there every time or his
issues? Well, but this was in Fromber's first incident. Fromber talking about the positioning of the players. Fromber talking about I couldn't even get a sip of water because when Young was throwing the no hitter, I couldn't even get a sip of water. So how am I supposed to pitch now? I mean, throwing his teammates under the bus. Joe Espada needed to step in and say throwing it at his catcher, crossing up his catcher. I mean, he needed to put his foot down, and that's on Joe. That's on Joe. Who's the caller, Dell?
Well, I would say we got to get to Josh Pate.
Oh, Josh Pate's up. Yep, we got to get to Josh Pate. Sorry. We got Josh Pate brought to you by Walmart next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great college football weekend with a guy who's one of the premier college football guys in the country, Josh Pate. Don't you go anywhere. Right now, we got John Daspit.
Yeah, John Daspit's one of the premier personal injury lawyers. And what does John Daspit do that's so special? Well, I think it's just work ethic, and I think it's understanding where the line is. He understands how to push, where to push, and how to get you the best settlements. There are other companies out there, other personal injury lawyers, where their entire thing is only about, look, what we're going to do is we're going to get you money right now, okay? And then all they're doing is working with the insurance company to get the settlement as quickly as possible so that they can move on to their next case. For them, it's a turn-and-burn situation. You're like a table at a restaurant. You just want to get as many tables in there. You make as much money as you can with your with your commission, and you move on. John Daspit doesn't look at it that way. He understands that this is your one opportunity to make sure all your bills are paid, all your medicals are paid, your regular bills that are going to pile up because you can't work, because you're physically unable to work, whether it's short-term or long-term, that is accounted for. And then your pain and suffering is accounted for, because many people, I don't know if a lot of people out there realize just how long-term some of the pain and suffering can be with some of these injuries. They just don't go away for some people. And so that's got to be accounted for properly as well. And John Daspit understands that. So he's going to fight for your one opportunity to make things right. And that's why you can trust the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. Easy phone number to remember. You can start the chat process online at DaspitLaw.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.